on the AM and FM 107 Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. We have two fantastic entrepreneurial stories for you today, and I appreciate you being here to listen to them. First up, Lisa Kraft is with us. She has started an adventure dating company. That's right. It sounds really cool, and I listen to her talk about it. It is really cool. It's going to work for a lot of people, and it might be a great solution for you. So Lisa Kraft will be with us. After that, we have here from the Atlanta area, entrepreneur Steve Smithwick. He has a new book out called Believer Bulldog Coach. It is an amazing story to hear his entrepreneurial story. Fired from a job, four kids, young kids, and he builds a company to compete, or not necessarily compete, just in the same sort of space, with the help of a lot of his prior customers. It is an amazing story and just an example of good old Southern traditional work hard values. So I'm excited for you to meet Steve very much. I'm also excited for our Thanksgiving show later this week. We put it together every year. It's 50 things to be excited for, to be thankful for as an American entrepreneur. It is a great list, a little silly at points, very, very sincere and deep at other points. And I do hope that you will put it on the list of things to listen to this season. It is America is great first. You know, just we're not going to argue about that. We just accept that America is the best place to be an entrepreneur. And here are some of the reasons. And so it's a very encouraging, upbeat story, just like my new book, The Real Environmentalist, which is a very upbeat take on the environment and the people solving it. I hope you read that book for me here during the holiday season. It's a great gift for your environmentalist friend. Anyway, great show. We'll get started in just a second. Thank you so much for being with us.
Change? Introducing The Real Environmentalists, the bold new book by Jim Beach. It's not about activists, politicians, or professors. It's about the entrepreneurs, real risk takers, building cleaner, smarter solutions, not for applause, but for profit. The entrepreneurs in the book aren't giving speeches. They're in labs, factories, and offices, cleaning the past and building clean products for the future. The Real Environmentalists is available now because the people saving the planet aren't the ones you think. Go to Amazon and search for Real Environmentalist. Thank you.
We are back, and again, thank you so very much for being with us. You know, when you are single, there is nothing worse than being single, I guess, and so everyone wants to find a mate. Entrepreneurs are good at that because we take rejection well, and so one girl says next, we just go on to the next, right? We can do that as entrepreneurs. We don't mind rejection so much, but maybe you want to meet the right one. Our next guest is going to help you do that. Please welcome Lisa Kraft to the show. She is the founder of Adventure Dating, which is exactly what it sounds like. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me on your podcast. I appreciate the opportunity to share my latest business venture. As you announced, it's Adventure Dating. It's about connecting two like-minded individuals through a common activity, and we're an experience-first dating platform.
What does that mean, experience first?
That means instead of just swiping randomly, you're going to choose an activity like mountain bike riding, surfing, golfing, and the day of the week you're available, and you'll be matched with a like-minded person.
Oh, very interesting. So it's not a big group thing where there's 100 people and you just try to find your match. You're set up on a date.
Correct. It's going to be a one-on-one with somebody that already has a like-minded interest with you.
Interesting. All right. And so are you just California-based right now, or is it growing nationwide?
Yes, we're just in Los Angeles. And what we're doing is we're building a strong community here, and then we're going to go to the different cities.
Okay.
Maybe. And then California's the perfect place to launch this, just because most of the time we have great weather. There's lots of outdoor activities. We have the basketball teams. We got the best baseball team going on. So I think it's a great place to start.
Oh, sure. It makes a lot of sense. And so I sign up, and do I only list my activities, or does it have the normal personality type questions too? Are you trying to match make it a deeper level, or is it just, I like surfing also?
I like surfing also. And Jim, you got the best last name, Beach.
Yes. Do you know there used to be a bar in Venice Beach named James Beach? Did you know that bar in Venice?
No, I didn't, but I love the last name.
I'm hoping to marry a girl who's would go, you know, her first name would go good with my last name, you know, like Wendy or Sandy or something like that.
Sandy. Yes, that's awesome. So we're basically an experience first platform. And it's also, if you like college sports or you like pro sports, we can also match you. Like if you wanted to go to a professional basketball game, professional baseball game, if you wanted to do hockey. And we're also breaking into some extreme sports, like if you wanted to do skydiving or helicopter rides. There's a lot of different opportunities out there.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. And
thank you.
How has it gone so far? How far are you into this venture?
It's going great. It took me 4 years to build it. And we started the app, came in the Google and the Apple store around, I'm going to say July, this last summer, July of 2024.
No, that would be a year and a half ago.
2020. No, it was 2025. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, okay.
My math isn't that great today.
So like 8 months ago or something. 6 months ago.
6 months ago. Yes, 6 months ago. And then I started picking up the users, just doing my local sports like surfing. If I meet people and they're single and they're interested, I'll let them know. Golfing, I pick up people on the golf course. Basically, wherever I go, if the person seems right for the app, I'll bring up the idea and see if they're interested in joining.
I love it. Guerrilla marketing at its best, Lisa. That will work.
It is.
Well. Yes.
It is. Thank you.
And so how many members are on so far?
Jim, we have close to 200 right now.
Fantastic. And how many dates have you arranged or adventures?
Well, with the users, quite a few have been on the dates, but there still are people on there who's signed up and they have yet to go on the date. But we've had a few success stories so far, so I'm really thrilled with the progress right now.
All right, and then how do you make money from this? Do they charge, is it a monthly fee to be a member or...
Well, we're running a 30-day free trial right now. And then after the 30-day trial, it goes to $19.99 a month. And that's how we'll turn a profit. And then I figure once we grow into a good enough size, then we can get the advertising on board and we'll go from there.
Okay. Did you, the 4 years that you were taking to build the app, did you have a friend help doing that? Or did you spend a lot of money? Have you spent a lot of money so far? Are you bootstrapping? What's it look like financially?
Okay, financially, Jim, I ran a medical training company. And to go back 4 years ago, when I first started to do this, I asked family and friends for the money, and they looked at me like, this is another one of Lisa's ideas. We love it, but we're not going to do it. So I financed one of my medical training companies to pay for the app. And it was first too expensive to do it here in the United States. So I contracted a team of engineers out of India, and they built the app with me.
How did that go? That can be a nightmare or it can be good. What was your experience like?
Jim, it was wonderful. The only problem I had was I'd come home from work, running the medical office at like 6 or 7 at night. And then by 8 o'clock at night, I'm on the computer talking with India. It was long hours, but my team did a phenomenal job.
Okay. And you were happy with them in the end?
Love them in the end. And they're so happy to have a product out in the United States. Right. Everybody is so grateful. It's been an amazing journey with the team. How did I find him? I have a local computer guy here in LA. He runs a company called LA Geeks. His name is Zach. And I went to him first to build the app, and he said it was out of his scope, and he put me in touch with the guys in India, and that's how it was done.
Okay. How long did it take them?
The actual app took, I'm going to say, close to 2 years, just because I kept making changes to it.
Yeah. Yep.
Trial and error.
All right. And are they still with you on that residual or something?
They are. They'll always be with me, Jim, and I will forever be grateful to them.
Well, I love your attitude.
Thank you.
Okay. Did you have problems with them in listening to your instructions? I've had problems with people in India and other places where I've said, duplicate this, and it comes back, and I'm like, that's not duplicate, buddy.
Yes, a few times they did not get my design feature right, so I'd have to resketch it out and send it back, and I could tell they were kind of getting annoyed with me, but they stayed patient, and I made them redo it. I don't know. It was close to, I'm going to tell you this, over 40 finished versions of the app before I said yes.
Wow.
Yes. So it was sent back and forth. We finally did it, and I'm super happy with the product. But you know, when you work with a foreign country too, you're taking a huge chance.
Yes, you are. And what about money saved? Do you think you saved money using Indian?
I think, Jim, I'm not going to say I saved money. I think it was money well spent.
Okay, because I don't know of an American contractor that would let you do 40 iterations.
I don't either. They'd say, Lisa, you're out of here.
Yeah, you're done. Good. That was nice. Goodbye.
They'd say, God, is she annoying, yeah. Right?
Are you willing to share with us roughly what you spent on the app so that we could, you know, if we build an app similar, we might know what it would cost? Is it $20,000, $200,000?
I spent under $100,000.
Okay. I think that's very reasonable.
I think for my product, it's amazing. And I think after this, once the product gets to a certain level with a certain amount of users on it, I think the money spent on it, it's invaluable to me.
Yes. Well, if it works out, it'll be worth billions of dollars. So, Lisa, what sports do you play? What are your activities?
Oh, my activities? I was a professional surfer for about 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's why I love your last name. So that plays a big, big role in my life. I'm not going to call myself a pro golfer. I'm a beginning golfer. I like tennis. I like just regular hiking, exercise, and I'm big on riding an electric mountain bike, a Turbo Levo.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Have you tried it?
Are you married?
Jim, no, I'm not married.
No, you're not. Okay. Is that relevant to be starting an adventure dating business? Is this really just a ploy for you to find your mate? And the reason I ask that is there was a company here in Atlanta, and I don't know if they're still out there, but I think they are, called 8 at 8. 8 people getting together at 8 o'clock. And a guy I went to high school with named David started it, with the sole purpose of him finding his wife. And then the company grew and became successful. And I don't know if it's still out there or not, but that was his whole ploy. And I heard that it worked.
Jim, you? I'm not running the ploy. I've already been married 2 times, but if I was to find my third husband through this, it's meant to be.
Okay. Maybe so.
Maybe you never know.
You never know. You should go and meet the couple at the beginning of the date, and you could do that for social media too. That would be good, to social media them at the beginning and then at the end, and you could interview them. That way you could meet the men or the women, whoever you choose, and hit on them if the date doesn't go good.
Oh, that is funny.
Did you ever see that TV show Millionaire Matchmaker with a lady
Yes, with Patty.
Do you know her?
She's been around. I don't know her personally, but she's been around in the same circles. I know of her.
It always amazed me that she was never married and could never find anyone for herself.
Oh, Jim, I don't think I have a problem if I put my hand out.
No, you've obviously not had any problems.
I think we might have a list signing up.
Yes, definitely. So, but marketing, we got to get back to marketing. I like your guerrilla marketing, but we have to do something at a bigger scale as well. You know, have you thought about that? You need, you know, 20,000 users in LA. What are your thoughts on that?
Jim, that's why I'm on your show today. We're going to pick them up. Okay.
Are you doing a whole bunch of shows? Is that part of your strategy?
We're doing a few shows. We're going to do some, we got the strategic PR going on and we are doing marketing. We're just changing a few things around with, the website and stuff. And then we're going to hit the marketing a little bit stronger.
Okay. Who could you partner with to bring customers to you?
I would love to partner with maybe,
what's the woman-led website or the one that women initiate conversation on?
That would be, you mean the app?
Yes.
Oh, the lady that did Bumble. I don't know her name off the top of my head.
You're talking about Bumble, though. Bumble is the one where the women reach out first?
Correct.
Okay. Why don't you go with them because they're unique and be part of an extension like a new button on Bumble where you can actually get arranged for the weekend. You know what I'm saying? If you could like partner with someone like that, but I would want to partner with someone unique so that I'm different.
But Jim, the only thing with Bumble is I think it's owned by the Match Group. I think she sold it.
Oh, okay.
And you know, once you get in with the Match Group, there it goes.
Now. They'll still do sponsorships.
I could definitely get into some sponsorships. I'd actually like to partner with some smaller companies and watch us all grow together than jump right into a big company right now.
Okay.
I'm having fun on the ride.
Oh, sure. I get that. But we still got to ride as fast as possible. I mean, as a surfer, don't you like the wave to be as big as possible?
Oh no, I cap it off at 12 feet.
Oh, okay. You're safe. You're smart then.
I'm not going up to Mavericks this winter. That's too big. I know my limits.
What is the best surfing in California?
Well, I usually go to, we got Rincon, which is outside of Ventura. We have Trestles in between Orange County and San Diego, but I usually go to Malibu or Topanga. That's about 15 minutes from my house.
And what's the best in the world that you've ever done?
The best in the world is a private reef break I go to in a place in mainland Mexico.
Okay, private, huh?
Yeah, private. Well, you don't want to announce it because then the surfers start flooding there.
That's true. Yeah, you have to hide the good spots.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So with the adventure dating company, have you thought about just ads or like, you know, just if someone types in LA dating, they should see your ad. What about that?
That would be awesome. Thank you for the idea.
Yeah. I mean, just run some Google ads for the basics, you know, because I'm sure hundreds of thousands of people type in LA dating. I would have to imagine it's one of the most interesting dating markets in the world with all of the rich people and all the people pretending to be rich and then all of the people wanting to break into the industries.
Oh, God, you have all of that trying to break into the industry. And you hit it right there, Jim, when you just said rich people then pretending to be rich. You never know what you're really getting until I'm going to say, I don't know, about the third date with someone. But I will tell you, the exercise community I'm in, like the mountain bike community, the hiking community up here in the local mountains, the people are pretty honest and they're pretty authentic. That's what I've, from my own experience, come to notice.
But even if they're honest, it's going to take 3 or 4 dates to figure out who the person is and what their psychosis is individually.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, Jim, you know this from dating, or I don't know if you're married or not. I didn't go that far into your bio, but it takes really over a year to get to know someone anyway.
Yes, I think that's true, especially as the older you get. So
at least with the adventure dating app, you'll go out, you'll do an adventure. Whether it works or not, you share that experience with the person.
I love this, too. What if someone approached you and said, I want to do Cincinnati?
That'd be fun. We'd go to the lake, right?
You would be interested in having a partnership with someone in Cincinnati or...
I certainly would. Yeah, there's lots of stuff to do in Ohio. You got the basketball games. You got the lake. Lots of stuff in Ohio. I like Ohio.
What's the best date you've ever been on?
The best date I've ever been on, in a relationship, we took a National Geographic boat to the North Pole.
To the North Pole?
Yes.
Well, that wasn't a date. That was...
Well, it was an extended date.
Yeah. Other than that, the best date or first date you've ever been on?
The best first date I've ever been on was probably to a concert, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Was probably to see Tom Petty, I would say, at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Hollywood Bowl.
That was classic.
Yes. So how do you replicate that in your business now? How do you take that same magic? Are you going to try to vet the man and the women? Are you going to like get to know them and try to do it that way, Lisa? Or is it just going to be, what are your thoughts on that?
What I'd like to do is I'd like the users to first go on there and figure out the dates themselves. And if they like the person, they go out. And then down the line in the app, if I can arrange the date, I do have a concierge service, but I have not launched that yet because I just want to create the user base first and let my users go out and try and then get feedback from them. And down the line, if we get such great traction going, then I will offer a concierge service where I could match the right guy up with the right woman. And I will be the matchmaker in the middle.
Do you think you're good at that? Do you think you have a finger for knowing who's in love?
I think I'm great at that. Thank you.
So who would you match yourself with?
Oh my gosh. Who would I match myself with?
Would you look for?
They have to be athletic. They have to be smart. They have to be well put together. And I like somebody with a business sense.
Okay. Interesting groupings.
So it's business. Listen, it's business. It's smart. Athletic. Did I leave something out? Business,
funny.
Athletic.
Usually
smart.
People say funny.
Well, I like funny, but just to a certain degree.
You know who you sound like? Your voice is very similar to Judge Jeanine Garofalo.
Oh, thank you.
Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Judge Jeanine, is it Garofalo? That might not be right. Judge Jeanine, I think. She was on Fox News on their 5 at 5 show or whatever that was called. I guess it's called The 5.
Yeah, people also tell me I sound like Fran Drescher.
I don't know. I know I could picture her, but I can't put together her.
Remember the brunette?
Yeah, I have.
From The Nanny. That was the show was The Nanny.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Doesn't she have a really annoying voice, though, or laugh?
I don't know. Maybe mine's a little annoying.
No, I wouldn't put yours as annoying at all. Not like hers.
Thank you.
An annoying laugh.
Okay. Maybe it was the laugh. Okay.
So tell us about what you were doing prior to this medical training business. How many other businesses have you had?
I did a medical training where we basically did CPR and first aid training. And I started that out of Cal State LA in like East LA over here in LA. And then I ran a program for doctors to get their continuing education units. And then when I went into the medical business, I helped run a medical office, and we had some government contracts on there where we helped out veterans.
Very good.
And I did that. I did that for many years. We helped the veterans get their compensation and pension benefits.
Very admirable.
Thank you.
And are you still involved with those as well?
No, I'm not. I'm full time now into the adventure dating.
Okay. Then you need to put 100% of your time into marketing, Lisa. Like stuff like this. But have you been on LA morning shows and stuff like that?
I have not yet. Thank you, Jim, for the advice. 100% into the marketing. Thank you.
Yeah. You'll get on the LA morning shows. There's, you know, Coffee Talk in LA or something like that. There's four or five of those shows. There's got to be.
Great. Can we use your name to get in?
I don't know. I've been on some of those shows, but nothing in LA that I remember. And there's got to be an angle. What is the angle to get you, say, into the LA Times or something? What can we do that it would be a PR pitch for that? How, because I used to run summer camps, Lisa. Nothing interesting about those. We got into the paper, the LA Times and stuff, because our summer camps would be, the articles would be about the girls, you know, and summer
That's
camps
awesome.
Are normally boys. And so we would talk about the girls, and then LA Times would run the article. So we need to do the same thing with you. Find some crazy story, like a woman who's been on 600 first dates and now she finds love, you know, or something like
that. That'd be awesome. And I, you know what? I'm sure there's women out there that have been on 600 first dates.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine all the prep for that?
Oh, that would be horrible.
That's a lot of makeup.
Yes. What are your thoughts on makeup? And, you know, men like less makeup than women like, I think.
You know, Jim, let me tell you, I'm pretty natural, but I do like my Chanel foundation, my Estee Lauder mascara. With makeup, I'm a less is more kind of a woman.
I agree. Yes. Definitely.
Because sometimes you put on too much and then you take it off and you don't look like the same person. I like to wear just enough so it adds to being beautiful. But then when it comes off, you're still beautiful.
Yes. You shouldn't be a shock in the morning.
Yes, exactly.
Lisa, I can't wait to see how this business does, and congratulations on getting it this far. And I love the idea, and it'll be wonderful to see how it goes. We'd love to have you back in a year and get the update.
Awesome, Jim. Can we play the quick 10?
Oh, sure. I didn't know you wanted to play. But first, how do we, we'll play the quick 10 and we'll come back to the URL in a minute. It's adventuredating.com, right?
Yes.
All right. Are you currently sober? I have to ask for the quick 10.
Yes, I'm 100% sober. And I mean, I'm not even what they call California sober. I'm totally sober.
Do you want to accept the standard wager?
Do I attempt a standard wager?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Number one, your favorite creativity hack.
Writing down your ideas as soon as they come to you.
Number two, favorite bootstrapping trick.
Borrowing money from your current company to finance your next venture.
Number three, name your top passions.
Surfing, restoring old Land Rovers, helping people, creating new companies and music.
Number four, the first three steps in starting a business are?
Writing your idea down, creating a business plan, and securing the funding.
Number five, the best way to get your first real customer is?
Go out and get them yourself.
Number six, your dreamiest technology is?
To eventually incorporate AI into adventure dating.
Number seven, best entrepreneurial advice?
Never give up.
Number eight, worst entrepreneurial mistake?
Don't ask your family and friends for money when it's just an idea.
Number nine, favorite entrepreneur and why?
I love Martha Stewart. She's resilient, went from a catering company to her own brand.
Excellent. While we calculate your score and find out the winner of the wager, how do we get in touch with you and find out more about adventure dating?
You can go to adventuredating.com, and it's also on the Apple and the Google Play Store.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm just kind of pausing until we get your score. Oh, I'm devastated for you. You got a 94, Lisa, but you have to have a 95
for
the summer, the score. Apparently, we had Katie Summers on the judging staff, and she dinged you a couple of points.
That's okay. I'll take a 94. That's still great.
Yes, yes. But you owe us a Tesla for the wager. You owe us a Tesla.
Is that all?
That's all we play for, yes. You'll send
that
along?
Thank you, Jeff.
Lisa, you'll send that along?
The Tesla?
Yes.
Which model do you want?
Oh, I don't care. I'm not picky.
And are you waiting for me to become a millionaire with adventure dating, or do you need it right away?
Oh, I'm willing to wait.
Willing to wait. Okay, Jim, you got it. We'll get you
Lisa,
the Tesla.
Lisa, you were a lot of fun. Thanks for being with us, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
And we will be right back.
Well, that's a wonderful question, actually, Jim.
Oh my gosh, I love the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Jim.
Wow, that's a great one.
You know, that is a phenomenal question. That's a great question, and I don't have a great answer.
That's a great question.
Oh, that is such a loaded question, and that's actually a really good question.
School for Startups Radio.
We are back, and again, thank you so very much for being with us. Very excited to share another great entrepreneurial story with you. Please welcome Steve Smithwick to the show. He is author of a new book called Believer, Bulldog, Coach, An Entrepreneur's Journey of Purpose, Perseverance, and Loving People. Steve has had a very successful career in the home construction space. He owns a company called Master Wall, which is in the exterior insulation finishing systems space. He has also been very active in the overall industry as part of the Manufacturers Association. Steve, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It is my pleasure. So tell us about the book. Congratulations. What are the three words here referring to? Believer, is this Christian? Bulldog, is that Georgia football? Coach? What is this?
Okay. Believer is faith-based for sure. That's what that is. Bulldog is our logo and our mascot for Master Wall. I am a Georgia Bulldog fan, but that's not what it is. So, and then coach, I coached high school basketball for almost 20 years and men's basketball. So that's what that is. The relationship between running a business and running a basketball program parallels very well. So that's why I added that to it.
Yes. What was the coach at UCLA?
John Wooden.
And he had the pyramid of success.
That's right. I'm very familiar with it. Yes. Many years ago, I studied it when I was coaching for sure. You know, I love John Wooden. I love to watch him coach. I'm that old. Never lost his cool. In fact, he never stood up unless there was a timeout, you know. He had his team so prepared. It was amazing. So he did his coaching at practice, not during the game mostly. So.
I was watching a few minutes of football over the weekend. I'm kind of upset the way the head coaches dress these days. I kind of respect Tom Landry out there in a suit, you know,
yeah,
and
right.
That kind of thing. So,
yeah, when I coached up until those last few years, anyway, I wore a coat and tie back when I was coaching. That last couple of years, it got a little casual, particularly at the tournaments. They would, you know, be like a golf shirt or something like that. But for the most part, I always wore a tie.
I think you should. You went to Kennesaw State. Are you familiar with their basketball program there? Do you still follow it? I just met the head coach at Kennesaw the other day for basketball Jerome Tang. Have you met him?
No, I have not. You know, when I went there, it was called Southern Tech.
Yes, until I remember.
Kennesaw State bought it up and then absorbed it. So, but I didn't play basketball there. That's just where I went to school.
Yeah. He's a pretty impressive guy. Anyway, so the book, The Other Things, what about the third piece? Oh, the coach. Okay, we got it all. So why'd you want to write this book? What was your personal goal for getting this out?
Well, you know, I didn't anticipate writing the book, and then I got an invitation. Somebody had heard my story and invited me to write the book, and so I did, and my goal was to help people that want to be an entrepreneur or struggling with something in life, and the whole thing is, bottom line, is never give up. And you got to have that kind of tenacious things like a dog, bulldog. You got to be tenacious, never give up on the dream that you get.
Very well said. Tell us about the Master Wall business and the entire story there. Walk us through that.
Okay. I was working for actually who's a competitor now. They had moved me to Columbus, Georgia to open a manufacturing facility there for them and worked there for 7 years. In fact, they had just sent me to South Korea to work on opening a plant over there also. I came back anticipating this was going to be a lifelong career, and the general manager called me into my office that morning and fired me, let me go. So
based on what, Steve? Was there a reason?
Well, yeah, the reason was when I came back from South Korea, he gave me a edict to not make any decisions without running them through him. Now, I don't know what you know about running a plant, but you don't have time every day to run every decision you make through your general manager before you make that decision. And so I made a few that he thought I shouldn't have without his input. And I had four children at the time. My youngest was 1 year old. And it was something that was not anticipated. And it was truly a huge setback for me financially and my family. My wife particularly was crushed by that. And so what happened, I had several people that I dealt with that were vendors who were also customers at that other company. They encouraged me to start another business. And I did some consulting and things like that for a few months, and then decided to incorporate and start Master Wall. And started slowly, had no money. Had to find ways to buy things and sell things before we started manufacturing. Literally had people that would give me money to go purchase things, and then they would buy it from me later, and that's how I made money to start Master Wall.
Say that again. They were prepaying for their orders?
Yeah, they were prepaying for their orders, and the money I would make off of those prepaid orders is what I used to start Master Wall.
Okay, very cool. And this is siding that goes, this is the exterior-most siding, correct?
Yeah, it's a stucco look. Some people call it synthetic stucco. Some people call it EIFS, E-I-F-S, which is exterior insulation and finish system. And it's on almost every hotel in America, one of our competitors or us. It's the hospitality industry is our biggest business, percentage of business. Corps of Engineers, you know, barracks, things like that for the Army, on a lot of things like that. You see it usually and don't even know you're seeing it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
A lot of strip shopping centers and things like that. You see that, see our product.
99, 100% commercial.
Yes, right at it.
Okay.
Right at least 90%.
Can't think of what it would look like for a house, but it doesn't seem very warm and friendly, does it?
Well, it actually was. We had a great residential business back in the 90s particularly, and we ran into some problems. It's called a an envelope for anything, because it definitely keeps everything out. But the problem became, it also keeps everything in. And that's why it's such a good insulator. But back then we didn't have a drainage system for it. So all the residential business we did in the 90s, if you had a window leak or anything like that, it got into the system. And usually the base that you were on was OSB board. And once that got wet, it started crumbling. So we went through a very, very troubling time in the 90s and early 2000s. And we developed, the whole industry did, a drainage system. So if any water got in behind the wall, it could drain out. Very troubling times, though, for our industry back then. But it made us better. Made us better because we came up with a better system.
That's a good point. What about the ups and downs of just the general economic space? Have you had huge swings in business because of 2008, 2009, things like that?
Absolutely. It was horrible. We started about 2007, 2008, and our industry really didn't recover until about 2014 is the way we track it. It was very lengthy, very deep. Very, very rough on our industry and Masterwall. We didn't let people go, but we all took pay cuts and we just cut everything we could, trying to hold on to all the people that we had. But it was a tough time. Just like 9/11, we had many months, almost a year back when 9/11 happened, hurt our industry real bad.
And do you think we're due for another downtime?
Possibly. I hope not, but a lot of things are really hard to determine right now, and that could happen.
Yes. And how do you make it through those downtimes, Steve? What was that's very impressive. You didn't lay off anybody. Congratulations. How did you manage that?
Well, once again, the administrative part, the management, you know, we started with a 10% cut in pay. We ended up with a 40% cut in pay. And basically all of our production employees, everybody agreed to take cuts just to save everybody's job. And that worked real well. During COVID, we did some similar things just so we could keep everybody. I'm a people person. And if you read the book, Believer Bulldog Coach, I love people. And I feel like, you know, Masterwall is a ministry. I said that about when I coached a team. It was a ministry for me. And I feel the same way about running a company like Masterwall. It's, you got to take care of your people.
Since it's such a defined market and you're mostly going after hotels and things like that, how does that change your marketing, Smith? Steve, how do you, I have a kid in my carpool named Steve Smith. And so I'm thinking of him and confusing him with Steve Smith Wick.
Yeah, I know a couple of Steve Smiths. So yeah,
there are a lot. That's a common name. How do you deal with marketing to a very small defined niche like that?
Well, probably most of the marketing is just social media right now. Of course, we used to use a lot of magazines, trade journals, things like that. But everything's online and, LinkedIn, Facebook, that's where most of our, marketing is done now.
Right. How big a team do you have total?
We have just a little under 90 employees.
Wow.
We have,
how many of those are in production?
Probably close to half of those, maybe even 60% of them. We have three plants. We have one in Payson, Utah. We have one in Brookshire, Texas, one in the Atlanta area in Lithonia there. And there are home offices in Columbus, Georgia. So we manufacture all across the country, and it doesn't take a lot of people to make our product. It's mainly driven with blenders and things.
And the plants are spread out that way, Utah, Texas, Georgia, just geographically to supply the country. I mean, it seems like you have Georgia for the east, Texas for the mid, and Utah for the west, right? Is it just that simple?
Correct. Yeah, we sell through distribution, and we're very convenient in those locations to our distribution. So,
okay. So how many distributors do you have across the country, or how many do you call them installers? What do you call them, partners?
Well, we call them distributors. We don't sell direct to the subcontractor. The distributor does that. And we have well over 150 distributor locations across the country. So some states we have multiple ones depending on the need, and some states there might just be one.
Okay. And how close to this product was it to the product that you got fired from? Is it the exact same?
It's very close. There's five main competitors, and we all make similar products. They all basically look alike. You can tell differences if you're a subcontractor using the products. You can tell some differences, but they're very similar.
Okay, yeah. So one of the thesis points here on the show, Steve, is that if you don't have an entrepreneurial idea of your own, you should just go copy someone else's idea. You shouldn't wait around for a lightning bolt from God that might not come. Maybe the lightning bolt from God is that store that you just got fired from, and maybe he wants you to copy it and do it better, or she, or whatever. What do you think of that thesis point?
Well, just like in my case, that's what I was familiar with. That's what I knew. And I felt led that was what I should do. And once again, it gave me an opportunity for ministry, and it's worked out well. I'd love to come up with a product, and then we have an R&D department, and I talk about it all the time, where we come up with some unique things, but basically the industry follows each other, you know, and what works.
Sure. But do you sort of agree with copying as a legitimate business idea? I think people are almost offended by that until they realize that that's what a lot of entrepreneurs do. Thoughts?
Well, you know, I never looked at it as, you know, I came up with my own formulas. I had my own partnership. I had to find financing myself. So I guess there's a limit to when you say copying. Like I said, I didn't take any
trademarks, patents, or copyrights.
Yeah, well, we've got our own.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we've trademarked.
Totally legit.
Yeah, we've got our own trademarks on some names and systems. So we're different in that regard. Sure.
That's right. How do you convince an architect you're better than the other four?
Well, we have architectural reps that go in and say different things. You know, you have to match warranties. You know, typically if somebody's doing a 10 or a 15 year warranty, you've got to come in with a 20 year warranty. You know, you've got to get the architect's attention. Now that we've been in business for nearly 40 years, we've got a lot of jobs out there that we can point to and case studies where you take that into the architect too. So, sure. You know, look at these results. We were one of the first, for instance, to come out with, we were the first to come out with a wood grain look. It's stucco, synthetic stucco that we've always made, but you can make it look like wood grain. And so you take that into an architect, for instance, and we're ahead of everybody in that, and it helps.
What about the environment? Were you about to say something?
Everybody's copied us since then, too, by the way. Copied us.
Yep. Copying goes both ways, that's for sure.
It does.
What about environmental issues? Has there been changes in the industry because of our greater concern for the environment?
Sure. You know, we're in good shape there because, you know, building codes basically say you have to have continuous insulation now on new construction. And we are a continuous insulation system, and it fits very well. And we're energy efficient. In fact, the boom times that really took our industry into the next level of things was in the 80s when there was an energy crunch and gas prices went through the roof. Our products took off back then.
Right. Well, it's just the look of the times. It looks modern. It looks clean.
You know? It does. So, sharp and crisp. Yes.
Yes, with clean edges.
You know, you can any color, you can come up with any texture. You can be very creative with our products. That's another reason architects like them.
Sure. I did 2 years at Georgia Tech architecture master's program, Steve, and then they asked me to leave. So, you know, Georgia Tech is about that.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, you've talked several times about this being a ministry. How far do you take that? Does the company pray? Do you actually talk about this as a ministry to your employees?
Yes, absolutely. We have a mission statement, and anybody can see it. It's actually on our website. And the last statement of our mission statement is to give God the glory for any success we have. That's written. And, you know, anybody that you're going to employ just about is going to go to your website and look at what you're all about. So people see that before we hire them. They kind of know where we are and where we stand with that. We have Christmas parties at all of our locations. Yeah, we ask the blessing before we eat and things like that. So, you know, it's not like wearing your religious beliefs on your sleeve. In fact, I hate the term religious. I'm more of a spiritual-minded person. I'm a Christian. And once again, it's a ministry. So I don't think I'd be doing what I'm supposed to do if I tried to hide that.
I love it. Steve, how do we find out more about you, follow you online, buy some siding for our hotel, and get a copy of the book?
Well, you have to go to Amazon to buy Believer Bulldog Coach. That's where my publisher sells them. And it is a bestseller, so you can find it there. And if you want to buy some EIFS and synthetic stucco, look up masterwall.com.
Fantastic. Steve, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on all of the incredible success you've done it the old-fashioned way, slow, hard, and dedicated. And so we'd love to have you back. Oh, it's Thanksgiving Day after tomorrow. What are you thankful for this holiday season?
Oh, I am thankful for so many things. My family is wonderful. I have 12 grandkids and a great-grandchild, and they all live in the area. And I am so thankful for our success that I believe comes from God. So thanks for asking. Yeah. That was a good question.
Well, it's Thanksgiving week. We need to keep that in mind. And I am very pro-America, and I think we need to talk more about being thankful for America and how lucky we are to be here and to have the American system where you can go and start a manufacturing business and have a decent shot at making yourself a lot of money, you know? And so I think we need to talk about that, how lucky we are to have this system. We need to defend the system more. So
I'm with you. I totally agree with that. Yeah, so.
Oh, and our Thanksgiving show, Steve, you'll like this. I have 50 reasons why I am thankful to be an American business person. Things like I can go bankrupt and start again and not, you know, I can do that if I have to, or things like I get invited to go to the Super Bowl, or for you, it would be invited to go to the national championship. You think your Bulldogs are going to win it this year, Georgia?
I think they can. All of a sudden they're showing great improvement. So I'm optimistic.
The country right now?
Yes. And every game they seem to be playing better. So.
You should be very impressed that I know that they're number four in the country, Steve. You should be like in awe that I know that. So.
I'm in awe from a guy that went to Georgia Tech. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We are out of time. Have a great day and be safe. And go make $1 million by now.